is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump, alongside tech billionaires from OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank, announcing the creation of Stargate, a joint venture by the three private companies to create an artificial intelligence infrastructure project.
A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States and very, very quickly, moving very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately.
Attorneys general from nearly two dozen states joining in a lawsuit against the Trump administration over President Trump's executive order seeking to end birthright citizenship, calling it unconstitutional. Biting cold along with snow and ice have crippled parts of the South, stretching from Texas to Florida, and sub-zero field temperatures are moving into the Northeast. And in Southern California, dangerous winds are back along with the threat of wildfires. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection invites individuals with a passion for promoting agriculture to apply for the position of 78th Allison Dairyland through January 31st. As one of the most widely recognized marketing communications professionals in Wisconsin agriculture, Allison Dairyland travels extensively promoting Wisconsin's agricultural industry and its impact on the state economy. In this highly visible and fast-paced position, Allison Dairyland serves as a full-time spokesperson, cultivates relationships with television, radio, and print media outlets throughout the state, writes and delivers speeches at events, and uses social media to tell the stories of Wisconsin agriculture. Additional duties include developing and executing marketing plans, delivering classroom presentations, and networking with industry professionals. Alice must also learn and retain information about the diversity of Wisconsin agriculture and be able to tailor that information to educate both urban and rural audiences. Alice and Dairyland applicants should have an interest in Wisconsin agriculture, public speaking experience, and at least 3 years of experience, education, or training in communications, marketing, education, or public relations. Applicants must also be female, Wisconsin residents, and at least 21 years old. To apply, provide a cover letter, completed application form, resume, and contact information for three professional references to datcpalice@wisconsin.gov by 4:30 January 31st. Application materials are available on the Allison Dairyland website. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks head to the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are headed to New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Milwaukee's won 7 of the last 8 games. After a 4-game home stretch, they now head out with 5 of the next 6 games on the road. In college hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers play UCLA tonight in Los Angeles. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation after beating USC over the weekend. Marquette has dropped in the AP Top 25 from 7th to 10th. Tonight they face Seton Hall. Head coach Shaka Smart on how to help Cameron Jones get going.
I need to spend some time with him and rub his temples because, you know, listen, this Cam Jones, man, this guy's out of this world. But he's also a human being. He's, you know, feeling a lot of pressure, I would imagine. He hasn't verbalized that, and he's been great in practice, and he's been an A-plus teammate. But, man, there's just a lot expected of him on his shoulders. And I think right now when he rises up from outside, he's feeling the weight of some of that.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports On. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries, temperatures rising up above zero in the overnight. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the mid-teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Right now, it's 1.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is with us, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can always be a part. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. on the board and jazzed as hell to introduce to you our next guest, John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times here locally. Friend of ours, John, it's been a while. Welcome.
Hey, it's good to be with you, brother.
Hey, good to be with you, brother. It's been a long time. How are you holding up after this election, man?
Well, you know, I think I might have preferred a different result. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, I've seen wins and losses and good results and bad results. This one was, on the numbers, not as bad as I think it was initially portrayed as.
Yeah.
Harris actually came within about 1.5 million votes. The Congress is close, et cetera. But in the fundamental reality, a close election or not, I think you're seeing the play out of it now. And
oh, yeah.
It's going to be very rough for a lot of Americans. And, you know, I think people will come to regret it, regret the result. But at this point, I think looking back at the election is perhaps a little less consequential than looking forward.
Certainly. John, you know, a lot to talk about with regards to the executive orders that were released by the current president. But also, Joe Biden issued a few pardons on his way out the door. Some I would question. Some I think were, you know, the family one's a little weird. You know, the Fauci and the J6 committee is not quite clear. Leonard Peltier, I think, you know, certainly deserved. What was your thought on how President Biden wrapped up his administration, John?
Yeah, it wasn't well, frankly. I mean, look, in fairness to Biden, he gave a pretty decent farewell address, and there were elements of that that were way undercovered, much like Eisenhower. He warned about things in the future that we should be concerned about, particularly the sort of unregulated growth of AI, things like that, the reality of oligarchy in this country. But in many of his own actions, he did things that I think really cut against the sense of the man. And there was a sense of Biden as a decent guy who kind of, you know, his great strength was a willingness to abide by the rules, even when that was difficult. I think a lot of his pardons called that into question, at least for some folks. There's defenses. People make defenses for everyone he gave.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, I don't think that he historically will be served well by the record of all those pardons. And I guess this is what I'd say. I think the Leonard Peltier was a very good one, and one that no matter what you think about the history on this, it was time to let this man go home.
Yeah.
And I think also many of the releases for low-level offenses in the federal prisons were quite appropriate. I mean, we do have over-incarceration in a lot of instances, and so what he did there was good. Beyond that, I think we get to a place where we could talk about Biden and Trump and say that as a country, we simply need pardon reform.
Yes.
And I know that's not easy. I mean, I understand the constitutional challenges and all the others, but I do think the pardon power has gotten up to the point where it is abused more than it is honored. And so if it was left to me, I would look for a bipartisan move to be able to just get rid of it, to eliminate it in at least most senses, or to create a much more sensible structure for how to do it. I do want people to have the option of clemency or commutation of pardons. I think that's good. But when it is left so much to the whim of an individual president, I just think we see abuses all over the place.
Great thoughts. John Nichols from the Cap Times, of course, The Nation, joining the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, John, for doing so. As we move on in our discussion to perhaps now the Donald Trump's inauguration, the optic, John, of the three wealthiest men in America sitting behind Trump, you know, trillion some dollars between them all. What Bernie Sanders, you know, we have a mutual affinity for Bernie Sanders. He pointed it out. What's the takeaway from that, in your opinion, John?
Well, I think the takeaway from that is the most powerful and important takeaway of the last few days. The Trump administration is, you know, kind of unapologetic in the fact, or about the fact, that this is the arrival of a fully oligarchical government. This is a government that literally tells members of Congress, you can't bring guests to the inauguration. Yeah. It tells billionaires, yeah, you can. And you know, the seating arrangements, everything was just so communicative, right? It told you the reality of where we're at. And look, here's the truth. We know this. Since the founding of the country, we've had elements of oligarchy. We've had elites who are very, very powerful and who've been able to get away with a lot of stuff, right? That goes back all through the history of the country. But the good thing in this country was that historically, presidents were a little embarrassed by that. Yeah. You know what I mean? They tried to create the image, at least, that they came from humble roots. A few of them did. But the reality is that I think this ostentatious display of wealth and the power of wealth and the influence of wealth and the quid pro quos that are already occurring, I think that sends a terrible message, not just about the presidency and about our politics. I think it's a bad message for the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a country that was made strong by working class people who got up early and worked late and, you know, followed rules and did their best to kind of do it right. And now we're seeing a situation where the message is, if you've got enough money, you can pretty much buy a place at the heart of government. That's not a healthy message for democracy, and it's one we're going to have to address at a fundamental level.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times. John, the money. It's always the money. I mean, and I think you're right. We've been, you know, even before this one, humanity, you know, always having that struggle between those that have the most and a lot and the rest of us trying to just get by, right? And hopefully have some semblance of individual and civil rights while our meager existence on this earth, right? But now it seems like, well, you know, back in the day, John, if you wanted to, you know, slide some money, you have to go buy all the books. You got to buy the unintimidated book. You want to give Scott Walker's campaign a bunch of money without regulation. Or maybe you have a candidate, John, that owns a hotel. And now all the Saudis can come in and rent out all the hotels. And now that's how you're going to transfer some of that money that you don't have to claim as dark money. You have to claim it as any sort of campaign contribution. But now we got what? We got meme coins. Donald Trump releases his meme coin right before he ascends to the presidency. And what is going to stop anybody or any country from getting into Donald Trump's good graces by simply going out and buying the meme coins, John?
Well, at his press conference today, the president said that they were trying to figure out how much he had made in the last few days. And one of the reporters was saying it was a couple billion. And Trump's response was he was up there with, you know, folks from Oracle and other big multinational corporations, OpenAI and such. And he said, well, that's just trivial to these people, right? It's just chump change for these folks. And so we have a president of the United States who is now saying to the American people, oh, yeah, picking up a couple extra billion, that's nothing. It's barely worth noting. And the trouble with that is that, as you say, you open up the door to a circumstance where the presidency of the United States is not seen as the greatest honor of someone's life, right?
Right.
The chance to serve their country and serve their people. But it is, in fact, a chance to get very, very rich, right? To literally put yourself and your family into another economic orbit. And I got to tell you, I think that does damage. I mean, it's damaging with Trump, and we know why we're worried about that. But I think it's damaging to both parties, presidents of all backgrounds, because if you lower the standard, right, you end up with a situation where, you know, it's just going to become accepted that you get into that office and you try and make money in some way. You find out some avenue to do it. And then if that translates over to the Supreme Court, right, which we have seen members of the Supreme Court having, you know, very troublesome relationships with very wealthy people, members of Congress, et cetera, you end up with a situation where the whole of our government seems so corrupted that would it be any wonder that people just give up on the thing and even start to give up on democracy because they believe, you know, just no good can come of it. If you get to that point, there's very little that is more dangerous or damaging to a country because people just lose faith in the integrity of their leaders. They expect their leaders to cheat them to try and get ahead. And how, just to give a context for it, how do you imagine a Jimmy Carter would do in a situation like that?
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show, John Nichols. John, the corruption and the grift and the greed, it hurts the country in multiple levels, in many ways, in different arenas. And one of the things that concerns me is if you're so worried about padding your pockets and working on the next scheme to get your next billion, and I've seen, John, the numbers, of course, again, this is the meme stock, it's not cash in hand. You know, you can't go out and buy a beer with Trump stock, this meme coin thing, but like up to 50 billion. I've seen some really, really big numbers in that regard. But my point being, John, is if there's a limited amount of time and lots of folks, you know, as they get to the presidency, they age quickly because there's lots of crises, sure, lots of things going on. If your main goal and your concern is about getting paid, what's going to slip through the cracks, John? You know, on a national security level, on a policy level, on all sorts of different levels. What when the president and his staff and his cabinet are spending time trying to pad their pockets, they're not doing anything to further advance the welfare of the rest of the country, and in fact could be very much harming them because they don't have their eye on the ball. John, do you have some more time with us for a few minutes on the other side?
Love to keep talking.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. Come back with us. We'll continue the conversation. Also want to get your take, John, on the executive order with regards to the birthright citizenship. Can a president, by executive order, just do away with constitutional amendments? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on presidential orders, including executive orders, and how they're used. Executive orders can also be used to revoke previous orders, and among President Donald Trump's day one orders was removing a policy of the federal government to promote access to voting. Trump's executive order, entitled Initial Rescissions of Harmful Executive Orders and Actions, terminated 78 of President Joe Biden's orders, including Order 14019, setting a policy for the federal government to promote access to voting. Biden's order, as noted on the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, quote, directed all federal agencies to consider ways to expand citizens' opportunities to register to vote and to obtain information about and participate in the electoral process. This included ensuring equal access for voters with disabilities and non-English-speaking Americans. It ensured voting opportunities for active-duty military and overseas citizens and established a federal ballot tracking system to assist those voters. It created a federal working group to protect voting access for Native American voters, and it allowed time off for federal employees to vote and serve as poll workers. Although not included in the day one orders, Trump has also pledged to limit voting to Election Day only. We have more on Trump's day one executive orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the Center, WRCE. Honey,
and welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Continuing our conversation with John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. John, thanks for sticking around for a few more minutes. Certainly appreciate catching up with you, my friend. Before we went to the break, I was lamenting the, I'll call it the opportunity cost of an administration so hell-bent on getting paid that they're not paying attention to anything or everything else. And that can certainly cost us in many ways other than monetarily. Before we move on other topics here, John, any comments on that?
Sure. I think your insights are pretty good. I think you've got to divide it into two categories here. One is the cost, the impact of a circumstance where those in power knowingly act in the interest of money, right?
Yep.
And so it's not bribery in the traditional sense, but it is a knowledge that they're going to make more money. They're going to be better off if they support or sustain certain people, certain policies, certain corporations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a damage in and of itself. But what you're talking about is also real. And here's where I think it becomes a serious issue. It permeates an administration. It's not just the president or the vice president sending out coins or doing something that make some money.
Yeah.
It's also everybody in the administration, right? They're all looking to get ahead, to profit off this situation, because it seems that that's what's rewarded, that that's what works. In a situation like that, the entire governing process becomes at odds with the better interests, the better angels of the American experiment. That's a really dangerous thing for democracy.
John, as we talk about the billionaire influence on this administration, I mean, just being right out there, the oligarchy, as we were warned from Biden on, and it's just right in front and center, literally front and center in the Trump administration. You know, some of the criticisms I've heard from conservative callers and listeners as well, you know, Joe Biden took billionaire money. John, yep. what's your reaction to that?
I think there's truth in it. I think the whole of our political process is awash in so much money that it has an influence on the process. It has an influence on the Republicans and the Democrats. And if we deny that, we're fools, right?
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, if you just look at last year's Democratic campaign, I mean, obviously, I was sympathetic to Harris.
Right.
I think there's a whole bunch of reasons why I want her to be president of the United States. But that doesn't mean I thought she ran a great campaign. I think there were a lot of mistakes made in that campaign. And many of the worst mistakes were or had a relationship to money, right? It was this question of, do you run a genuine progressive populist campaign along the lines of, you know, going all the way back to Robert M. La Follette,
yep,
at his best, Franklin Roosevelt, all the way up to Bernie Sanders? Do you run that kind of campaign, or do you run a much more cautious campaign where you're out there appearing with Mark Cuban and other billionaires and stuff like that? I mean, you have to make a choice. And I think that both parties, Republicans very easily, Democrats perhaps a bit more grudgingly, but I think both parties bend far too much to big money, and it has an impact on the whole process. So to your conservative callers, I would say, I mean, first and foremost, you understand, it's not a defense to say that the other guys do it.
You know,
it should be something they recognize as a problem for the entire system.
And that it is, the outdo influence. John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times for just a couple more minutes. John, the leadership, I guess, in the Democratic Party, one thing, and the actual DNC chair race. A couple of weeks, we're going to find out who that's going to be. Faiz Shakir is thrown in here as of late. Of course, we have our own Ben Wickley here from the great state of Wisconsin. Also, a couple others. What's your thought on that, John? You got anything you'd like to share as far as who you would like to see at that role?
Well, look, I've known Ben Wickler since he was 12. So, you know, I mean, literally. So, I used to write letters to the Cap Times. And so, obviously, I think as a Wisconsinite, I have sympathy for Ben Wickler. I know Faiz Shakir very, very well. And in fact, I think he's a brilliant organizer, and there's a lot of things he's done that I think are super important as regards use of media, things like that. Ken Martin up in Minnesota, decent guy who started out as an aide to Paul Wellstone. So I can say nice things about all of them. The one thing I would say to people is this, that if we're serious about this thing, you have to ask, what do you want in a chair of the DNC? They're all going to go out and raise money. We know that. I don't think it's necessarily good, but they're going to do it. They're all promising to make the state parties stronger, to invest more in a 50-state strategy. That's good. That's very, very important. I think basically they get a lot of stuff. But the real core question is, who of these people can go out immediately on February 2nd, the day after the choice is made, and start to excite folks, to start to get that Democratic message across? And I will say that as somebody who lives in Wisconsin, I have seen Ben Wickler do that very, very well.
Yeah.
And so I think when people weigh all the strengths and weaknesses of these candidates, I'm not going to tell people who to support. I'm just going to say that from my perspective, what I know is that I know that Ben Wickler is hyper energetic and really good at kind of getting on TV, getting on radio, getting messages across. And at the end of the day, I do think that that is maybe the biggest qualification, right? The one you look for the most,
right?
Because there's very little time to start getting that message framed and getting it out in an effective way.
John Nichols, last 60 seconds. Then who do you see as the leader of the elected Dems? If you were going to look at who's in office right now, who did you look to?
Well, it should be Hakeem Jeffries, right? And that's because he is just on the edge of having a majority in the House, right? It's so close there. So Jeffries has to step up in that sort of unique intersection of being both a media leader, somebody who speaks, right, you know, it's forward, but also who is finding those policy moves that'll get you ahead and can make things work. Now, I think Jeffries has to fill that role. I think it's hard, but I would hope that he does, because I think for the Democrats, that's really important to have somebody who is at once a public face and also able, hopefully, to achieve some legislative goals.
John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine, friend of ours. Thank you so much, John. Awesome catching up with you. We'll talk again real soon. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan will be fighting for equal protections for LGBTQ Wisconsinites. Speaking Monday, the Madison Democrat says he's heard concerns from residents going into President Trump's second term. Pocan says the issue strikes close to home for him as a gay man and that Democrats will be fighting to protect Americans against bills that target gender equality. He also wants to oust sitting Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, a Trump appointee from his first term. Pocan says DeJoy has caused chaos at USPS and needs to go. The DeForest Village's Public Services Committee voted 5-2 in favor of removing the mineral last month of fluoride from its drinking water. Some members of the village board argue keeping fluoride in the drinking water isn't safe and say the village can save money by not having to replace aging equipment needed to add fluoride to water. Fluoride has been in drinking water across the country for more than 75 years and is shown to reduce both tooth decay, and its use is backed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. The Department of Natural Resources is asking you to consider a donation when filling out your tax forms. Natural Heritage Conservation Bureau Director Drew Fidkircher says it's a great way to help the rare plants, animals, and natural places in Wisconsin. Fidkircher says each dollar donated is matched by the DNR and used to apply for grants that require match funding. To make a donation, look for endangered resources in the donation section of your Wisconsin income tax form.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, you know it's a slow holiday weekend at the box office when a movie that was released 5 weeks ago is number one. Mufasa, The Lion King, has been ranked one or two since its release on December 20th. And this past weekend, the film brought in almost $12,000 to lead the way at the domestic box office. Mufasa barely edged out the number two film over the weekend, Sony Pictures' One of Them Days, which reviewed incredibly well and brought in $11.6 million last weekend. The comedy about two girls trying to make rent, starring Kiki Palmer and SZA, is a surprise hit. Wolfman finished in third place in its opening weekend with just under 11 million and mediocre reviews. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 actually moved up a spot from number 5 last week to finish in fourth with about $8.5 million, and it was Den of Thieves 2, which opened at number 1 last week but had a huge drop off and finished with about $6.5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries, temperatures rising up above zero in the overnight. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the mid-teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Right now, it's one.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bumping, 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 bumping,
bumping? Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening, hanging out, being a part. You can join us here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Thank you so much to our most recent guest, John Nichols from the Cap Times here in Wisconsin. Of course, the nation, nationally. Known John for a long time. Always, always appreciate his perspective and catching up with him. Couple of issues that I want to get to, items perhaps that are maybe related, maybe not. I made some notes. I made notes. I can actually kind of read them.
Oh, wow. That's new.
I realized that I'm not the only one with this thought. And this is what I mean. A Washington Post, Catherine Rampel reporting, Trump finds a new way for foreign governments to pay him off. Crypto. The subheadline, Trump's crypto coin is little more than a whiz-bang Ponzi scheme. Now, you can get into the article. Of course, she talks about what this is and what it means and what the values or lack thereof is and so forth. But my point is, look at it as, without even getting into the details, as a conduit. That's all. It's just a conduit. Think about it as a conduit. Think of it as like a fancy way for, foreign entities to give Trump money, like pretending to rent out his hotel rooms, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But as Catherine Rampel starts off her article, the era of shakedown economy has officially begun, and it started with something called a presidential call it crap coin. No, I'm not making it up. The shakedown economy. And I was thinking to myself, man, what a way to funnel. What a conduit. And I didn't write down shakedown. I wrote down like racketeering. See what I'm saying?
Potatoes.
Ah, right. It's a racketeering. It's corruption. Call it extortion, perhaps. Could it be something like that? Extortion?
Yeah.
Racketeering? And why extortion? Why racketeering? Well, if you're Donald Trump and you're trying to make money and you can use the policies of this country to shake down, to extort money from others, well, how are they going to give it to you? They could stay at the hotel, I guess, or they could buy your meme coin.
Right.
And what kind of policies would that be? Well, call it, I don't know, 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. You're going to get 25% tariffs in Canada and Mexico. Unless, of course, maybe you buy some Trump meme coin, and we'll see what happens. And the thing is, we'll never know. That's the concern.
No, this is the ultimate in dark money.
Right. We will never, ever know. And what other policies that we've heard about? Well, one of them is certainly concerning. And that is, and bear with me here, let's think this through. And that is declaring the cartels terrorists, declaring the Mexican cartels as terrorists. And that would allow for, certain things, according to the Washington Post. As he signed an executive order, that would allow them to do what? List of foreign people that you couldn't do business in America with, right? Those kinds of things. They've done this with other organizations, obviously, as well. Most of them politically inclined. Think of Al Qaeda, those kinds of things. MS-13 and all that. If Trump's stated concern is specifically drug trade and immigration, well, you're not going to bomb the immigrants, right? We're not shooting the immigrants. I mean, at least not today. Now, perhaps the folks that Donald Trump let out of prison will all sign up to be volunteers for his new round them up and keep them in Mexico policies. But the cartels, if they're the producers of the drugs, let's call it. Well, obviously Mexico and Canada, I mean, they're allies of ours. We share borders. We share economies. We share trade agreements, all sorts of things. We have easy ways to get in and out of the countries and so forth. If you're going to, as a president, send in SEAL Team 6 to someplace you believe to be a drug origination, a manufacturing facility, Well, are you going to engage with the host country in doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you didn't if it was Pakistan. You're going to get, you know, Osama bin Laden. Certainly not. But we're talking about like Mexico. This is Mexico. We go to Mexico. We have our trade with Mexico. We have lots of autos and whatnot built in Mexico. We have a great relationship. Well, with the exception of the Gulf of America. Listen, they're our neighbors and they're our business partners. I think they're our number one or number two trade partner. So let's just be realistic about this. If you're Donald Trump and you're going to label these cartels as terrorist organizations and then unilaterally start making strikes, well, you're going to ultimately, you're going to piss off the Mexican government. You're going to kill innocent people. And all you're doing is trying to address the supply side of the problem. I'm pretty sure the Mexican government and Mexican citizens don't want American special forces killing them.
Probably not. Sounds like a fair bet.
Just saying. And I'm also sure that as only one side of the equation it is, it's not talking about distribution.
Right.
Production and distribution. And on that side of it, there's lots of Americans in this business, man. What if, I want to, you know, literally think about this for a minute. What if the Mexican government said, hey, okay, well, you're going to attack the manufacturing facilities, let's call it. Well, we're going to attack the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, what? You want Mexican special forces rolling into Texas, rolling into Florida, into Miami, rolling into Southern California and executing, targeted raids on whatever they think might be something breaking the law? Does that seem like a logical step in any sort of serious effort to curb the manufacturing and distribution of illicit substances as well as human trafficking? Let's just all willingly go nail at each other what we think might be the case. Or do you think that there should be some adults in the room and governments that would work together? Wow. And I heard some of this from the Foxies. I think Bill Barr as well. The conversations are just quite alarming. One of the the Mexican government. Wow, they're too corruptible. And they're too corruptible. It's too easy. I mean, it's just too easy. The corruptible cartels and this is Bill Barr. The cartels are corruptible and they have the money to bribe. That was literally Bill Barr's comments today on the Foxies.
So they're too corruptible, too easily corruptible.
What? Right?
Come on, man.
All right, now let's think of these words. And Catherine Ramble wrote shakedown, and I have, you know, racketeering, extortion. I have another one here that I can't quite read, but it's I think it starts with a P, maybe an R.
Prostitution.
Racketeering. Oh, I already said that. But it's a shakedown. So, no, I certainly don't want to see American forces going, you know, targeted raids into Mexico any more than I want to see Mexican forces doing targeted raids into the distribution channels in America. And let's not forget, the reason that we have these drugs coming here is because Americans want them.
Right.
Let's just be frank about that. And I don't think that, you know, it would be okay for the Mexican government to come and start killing not only the distribution lines, but, you know, the end consumers. Well, you know, they do that in some countries where there's a death penalty for drug consumption, and drug trade. Well, it doesn't. Is that the world we want to live in? Well, I don't think so. Not me, you know. And don't Bill Barr talk to me about the corruption abilities of government, because Donald Trump right now is leveraging that. So if he says he's going to attack, he's going to put this terrorist moniker onto the drug cartels, whatever that means, and whoever that means, and by what means do you address that, assess that, and name them, and by what authority do you go into this country and into a sovereign nation like Mexico, as a trading partner, our neighbor, and start waxing and killing whoever you think might be in this group? Now, certainly it would seem like we'd need some sort of additional cooperation in that regard. Not to go after it willy-nilly. Not to go after it without the advice and consent of, I don't know, call it the Mexican government.
Let's call it the American government as well.
Are we? What's the outcome? If if we don't, if there is a supply, and come on, all you Republicans, you know, you're capitalists. if there's a supply lag, well, prices go up. Demand might go down, but if demand is there, it'll go down. When the prices go up too high, then demand will break off. But there is a huge demand for drugs in this country. Full on stop. And from my own personal experiences, you know, sold a little weed when I was in college. You know what I mean? And most of it was that, you know, chunky, nasty, seedy brick weed that probably came from Mexico. Just saying. It wasn't great. Nowadays, on legal weed, it's amazing. It's amazing. The stuff is tested. There's no mold. There's no seeds. I mean, when was the last time you went to a dispensary and found a seed in anything that you bought? Well, folks, let me tell you, very rarely happens. And call it maybe my personal experience in my old college days as it being in the distribution side of this equation. And a lot of that distribution, most of that distribution was to white folks.
Well, yeah.
You know, people around La Crosse, let's call it.
Yeah,
you
know, old stomping grounds.
My old stomping grounds. So we have to acknowledge the demand. And that's not, I mean, come on. I mean, look at Trump Jr., allegedly. and come on, there's cocaine found in the Biden White House. I mean, there is demand for these things. And I don't know, and certainly when you talk about car bombings, beheadings, and all those kinds of things that happen, is it any better if it's done for money versus for a god? You know, no, any of those actions take away the rights, the individual liberties of the person that is being murdered for whatever reason. The dead people don't care what your reason was. You know what I'm saying? So I don't make much of a difference on it, other than it's a business, and it can, like any business, can be regulated and curbed and supported. Now, maybe there's some drugs people say, oh, this is too much, it's too hard, you know, and I get it. We did, Oregon did this experiment, and I think Portugal, right. some other countries, is maybe some southern South American countries as well, have very, call it, lax drug enforcement policies.
Well, sure, they went the route of full decriminalization for drugs. And, you know, it is
what it is.
Listen, what it is.
Addiction's a bitch, but I would consider it when you get to that point and the things that come of that. Those are healthcare issues. Those are not law enforcement issues.
Absolutely.
To my personal opinion. Now, I know Oregon's kind of backpedaled a little bit on that because of, you know, you don't want people, you know, shooting up heroin in the middle of the street.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, just saying, some places you can't have a beer outside.
time and place, people.
Time and place. There's a demand, and we have to acknowledge that. And I don't think that, you know, and again, are they terrorist organizations or are they just unregulated businesses?
Well, I mean, if you want to look at unregulated businesses, look no further than Trump himself.
Right. So is it possible, knowing that it's not just me, it's, you know, the journalist over at the Washington Post, other folks having these same thoughts. Well, it's not just, you know, the cartels would come in and start renting out the hotels. But what if it's extortion, right? What if it's racketeering? What if it's protection money? That's what it was. I worked on protection.
Oh.
It's protection money. We're gonna talk a little bit on the other side of this break about TikTok. And Donald Trump was all about TikTok until Donald Trump wasn't all about TikTok. And now he's all about TikTok again. Why is that? Well, if you look at the conduit of the money, if you look at it in the sense of payoffs, bribery, protection, think mafia, think organized crime, because that's the way this thing fits together the best. Is it going to bomb the cartels, or is it just going to take 10% off the top? Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger.
So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. Callers, see you. Holy, be patient. Want to wrap up my last thoughts as we tie up this whole, let's just look at this as a racketeering organized crime organization. It makes everything seem a little more, I don't know, acceptable, or I don't, at least clear. And why do I say that? Well, let's look at TikTok, for example.
Let's look at TikTok.
Donald Trump, back in, let's see, when he was still the president of the United States, mm-hmm. he issued an executive order dated, I have it in front of me, thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
August 6th of 2020. Yada, 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 yada. TikTok, quote, "The United States must take aggressive action against the owners of TikTok to protect our national security. I hereby order," yada, yada, yada. Aggressive action against the owners to protect our national security.
That sounds like a pretty serious matter.
He made an executive order, man. He put out a statement August 6th of 2020. Oh, 4.5 years later, at the bequest of Donald Trump, Congress, along with some Democrats, you know, banned TikTok. The Supreme Court
was a bipartisan movement.
The ban. And now Donald Trump's backpedaling? We have a little cut from Donald Trump on the TikTok. Let's play it, please, Jess.
Sure. Just starting with a question. It's a little hard to hear, but why did he reverse his stance on TikTok?
He wanted to block TikTok. Why did it change your mind?
Because I got to use it. And remember, TikTok is largely about kids, young kids. If China's going to get information about young kids, I don't know. I think, to be honest, I think we have bigger problems than that. But you know, when you take a look at telephones that are made in China and all the other things that are made in China, military equipment made in China, TikTok is not their biggest problem. But there's big value in TikTok if it gets approved. If it doesn't get approved, there's no value. So if we create that value, why aren't we entitled to like half?
Why aren't we entitled to like half?
Okay, welcome to the shakedown.
Yeah.
Welcome, baby. I mean,
come on. We're
here. This is it. This is straight up.
He's not even hiding it.
He's not even hiding it.
Why don't we get like Half.
You know who else doesn't care about whether or not kids' information gets out? Jeffrey Epstein. You know, Donald Trump's old buddy.
Right.
What, all of a sudden it's a national security issue. Can't have all this data. Now, today, when we talk about the value, when the TikTok CEO was sitting next to Tulsi Gabbard yesterday at his inauguration, well, now it's about 50%. How are we going to make that money, huh?
Well, and you also heard him. He got to use it.
I got to use it.
In the campaign, TikTok was a prolific spreader of disinformation.
Yes. We can't get rid of that. I
absolutely
need that.
Not.
It worked for me.
That got him the election.
I mean, he's basically a TikTok promoter right now, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
And TikTok promoted him. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Help us, Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump did it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks. This is a shakedown, man. This is a deal. And if you think he's doing it here, of course he's doing it. And that's the problem with the corruption, as the way I see it. Of course he's doing it.
Of course.
And everything, on every issue, every time. Because that's how you maximize your profit. Everything, all the time. It's like an Eagles song. 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, you are up. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Listening to him last night about Gaza and North Korea, they've got great condo capabilities. Lots of shoreline. And it's just like we've got this real estate guy, and he's just looking at all the people in the world as they're just renters, and he wants to buy them out. And, you know, there's nothing left in Gaza, you know. Nobody wants to live there, you know. There's no people left there anyway. We'll just, you know, build some condos. It's just, we've just deserted everything that the founding fathers had in mind to improve and make better and be a great country.
A government by the people and for the people. Annie from Watertown, thank you so much. Not by the billionaires and for the billionaires. And what did we talk about yesterday? The many can overcome the money, right? We just got to be on point. Just got to accept the reality, man. It looks to me, and I know a little bit about something, looks like me like this is Shakedown City, man. So if it's going to start, if you see Donald Trump promoting something, saying something, doing these things, and just get all like, you know, I don't know, like an executive order a few years ago about TikTok. And all of a sudden backing up, oh, I got to use it. And my friends, I'm not just a user, I'm an owner. And I recommend TikTok for all of your misinformation needs. I mean, the guy is literally promoting it. So if you see a guy like Donald Trump taking wild swings on policies and those kinds of issues, your natural reaction should be, well, what's his angle? How's he making the money? That's it. And to Annie's point with Gaza, I mean, he's reiterating what Jared Kushner basically said the same thing, his son-in-law, about Gaza a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That's prime real estate. So let's bomb the hell out of it, kill everybody. We'll bulldoze it all down and put up some Trump towers. You think that's what the people of Gaza, that's what the Palestinians are looking for, a Trump tower? Well, of course they're not, because, you know, Donald Trump, he doesn't rent to the minorities. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salve Show. It's true, man. The Trump Organization had a settlement in New York because they wouldn't rent to the black people. Tomorrow, you're going to end on doing something.
Yes, we are.
Tell me something nice.
Yes,
tell me
are.
Something good.
Because
I like that. No, it's not really something good right now. I'm kind of mad about everything right now.
Yeah. That's why we're going to do that tomorrow.
We're going to try to do it every day. I think we're going to do it every day. Folks, thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening to the Dom Salvia Show today. I want to thank Maggie Dawn, a little overtime with Maggie Dawn right here on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. But listen to her show Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m., preceding this fine production. Thank you to John Nichols from The Nation, locally at the Cap Times. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba and the Nightlight is coming up next. Thank you, Jess. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about the dangers of lead in the water with black and the campaign of lead-free water before talking with Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action about organizing politically.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The wave of executive orders issued by President Trump are still being rolled out, but several are already facing lawsuits, including President Trump's directive to block birthright citizenship.
On day two of President Trump's second term, states from Massachusetts to California are suing over the executive order to block birthright citizenship, calling it extreme and a clear violation of the 14th Amendment. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says, yes, President Trump is fulfilling a campaign promise, but
today, I'm also following through on a promise to take action if Trump violates the law.
ABC's Alex Stone. The FDA expanding approval for Johnson & Johnson's nasal spray ketamine-derived treatment for standalone use. The drug was already approved in 2019 for severe depression, but only if used with other prescribed antidepressant drugs. Dangerous cold dipping further into the south and the northeast is heading into its coldest night yet of the season. This is ABC News.